Everything you find about a believer's life in the scriptures has something to do with being active. Walk, run, labor, war. And the other, only other way they're described is, and how you can deal with all those things, is by resting in Christ. Everything else is active. Everything else is active. That's why we rest in Him. Rest in Him. Now I want to bring a message from these verses that I read today here in Luke 5:17 through verse 26. And my thoughts down there in verse 21. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Who can forgive sins? Who can forgive sins? Now in these verses I read today, our Lord performed three miracles. Three miracles in this situation. First of all, He forgives sins. That's a miracle. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who should be able to stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Forgiven sins. You know that's a miracle. You know how many people don't care about their sins being forgiven? Or can go to a pope or a priest and have their sins absolved? And that's why I said the first thing a miracle He done, He forgives sins. And once you're ever forgiven a sin, you don't have a problem with sin until you're forgiven of your sin. And Christ makes you know your sin. The second thing He does here, second miracle, is that He reads men's minds. He knows what a person's thinking. They reasoned within themselves. And our Lord Jesus told them, said, "What do you think in your hearts? What are you thinking about?" So He reads men's minds. He reads their thoughts. And third miracle that He performed was He healed that paralyzed man. When you have the palsy in the scriptures, it means to be paralyzed. Paralyzed. And then it says down there in verse 26, "And they were all amazed." And all amazed, it said, "We have certainly seen some strange things today." Well, of course it's strange to them. They had never seen anything like that. They had never seen anybody, what all happened that day. They didn't ever see anything like that. And strange, it's the only word in the New Testament the way this word is used. It means paradoxes. It means things contrary to all common opinion and ordinary experience. So what they saw was contrary to all their opinions, and especially contrary to their experience. So they seen strange things that day. And I'll tell you this about our Lord Jesus Christ. When and where and how the Lord Jesus works will always, always be considered strange by the world. Always considered strange. You know, men and preachers tell you how He's supposed to act. They already got it figured out how the Lord Jesus is supposed to act. He's supposed to love everybody. Supposed to love everybody on the earth. And secondly, He's supposed to give everybody a chance. And then when He gives you your chance and knocks on your heart's door, then He can't come in until you open it yourself. So they know how He's supposed to act. They know how He's supposed to act. But I tell you what He does and how He does act. He acts according to His nature. He acts according to being God. And I know this, He acts out when He will, how He will, where He will, and upon whom He will. Now, ain't that right?
Right.
These fellas here said, "We see a strange thing today." But I tell you what, what's strange to them, I find glorifying. Don't you? Oh, and I tell you something else He always does. He always, what He does it to bring glory to God. He said He done this to bring glory to Himself. Glory to God. Now let's go back here in verse 17. Look down, let's go down through these verses and see what they say. "And it came to pass on a certain day," a certain day. Now, if you looked in Mark chapter 2 in verse 1 through 3, which you don't have to do that, it says our Lord's in Capernaum this day. And he went into this house to teach. And there were four men there that brought in this paralyzed man. It said, talked about four men. So in this certain day, he's in Capernaum. And our master's in a house here in Capernaum. And it says he was teaching. Our Lord was teaching. And I tell you, you find where our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching so many times. So many times. It says, you know, he was out in a boat one time, had such a crowd, he says, push me out in the water so I can stand up and teach these people. But look who was listening while our Lord was teaching. There were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Sitting by. And I tell you what, Pharisees. You know, the Pharisee was the most separatist group of people that's ever lived on the earth. They would have been our modern day fundamentalists, except they were much more stricter than that. And when it's talked about them being separatists, they separated themselves from ceremonial impurity. Whenever they come out in town, they had to go home and wash themselves all over again. They separated themselves from Gentile dogs. They separated themselves from heathens. And they separated themselves from publicans and sinners. They didn't want anything to do with them. And I tell you, they even separated themselves from the common Jews. And they even made fun of those people who didn't know the law. But now you can keep Luke 5 and look over here in Acts chapter 26. Look what Paul says over here in Acts chapter 26. You know, our Lord Jesus, Paul's standing here before Agrippa, and he's standing there defending himself, speaking for himself. And he goes down and he says there in verse 4, Luke 26 verse 4, everybody knows, the Jews know my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. The most straitest sect. The strictest sect. And so they were separatists. Oh my. How separate they were. And they loved to be recognized that way. And then not only was back over in our text, it says not only were they Pharisees, but they were doctors of the law. Doctors of the law. You know, we have what... Certain denominations now won't even let you preach in their pulpits or even consider calling you unless you've got a doctor's degree or a master's degree. And these fellows were doctors of the law. Doctors of the Old Testament law. Doctors of the Scriptures. They were scribes. They studied the Scriptures. They taught the Scriptures. They interpreted the law of Moses. And what they generally did, they explained it away by tradition. You, for the commandments of men, have done away with the commandments of God by your traditions. And it says here, they came from out of every town of Galilee, out of Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So these doctors of the law, you know, they're going to confer a honorary doctorate degree on Arthur W. Peake one time. And he told him, he says, you know, said, why in the world would I want a doctor's degree? Nobody in the Bible was a doctor except the Pharisees. You can't find anybody in the Bible. Dr. Paul? PhD Paul? Oh, Simon Peter, he had a high... Oh, what a degree he had. You know what they said about themselves? I'm nothing. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least of the rest of the apostles. And when Simon Peter was confronted with Christ's glory, he said, oh Lord, depart from me, a sinful man. Oh, listen. I tell you what, go ahead and get all the degrees you can possibly get. And that'll be fine. But I tell you what, if you don't know God, It will not amount to nothing. Absolutely nothing. They'd come from everywhere, out of villages, out of the city of Jerusalem. And it, look what it says, in the power of the Lord, the power of Jehovah was present in Christ for healing that day. Oh, listen. Look over here in John chapter 12. Look in John chapter 12. Here says these Pharisees and doctors of the law. Look what our Lord says over here in John 12. Our Master's talking now. John chapter 12 and verse 37. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Our Lord performed, this day he performed 3 miracles in the presence of these Pharisees and doctors of the law. Yet they believed not on him. And listen to this now, that the saying of Isaiah, the scriptures, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who's believed our preaching? And to whom has God revealed his arm? Now listen to what he says here. They could not believe, because that Isaiah said before, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. And listen to what he says, that I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. So you see, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But it didn't heal him. You know what he was there? These were religious people. Super religious people. They spent their whole time in nothing but religion. Super religious people. And here it says the power of the Lord is present to heal of what? Their religion. Man's got to be healed from his religion. I had to be healed from my religion. And I was blind as a bat. I couldn't hear anything but works, obedience, dedication, commitment, devotion, tithes paying. All I could hear was law, 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 work, work, work. Until one day God opened my eyes and gave me ears to hear and bless His holy name. Once He does that, you'll never listen to anybody else. But he said the praise of the Lord to heal them, and they couldn't see, and they couldn't hear, and they couldn't believe. Why? Because they were so wrapped up in their religion, you couldn't touch them. Huh? Even Christ didn't touch. And what a contrast here. The super religious, envious, closed-minded teachers of the law. And here's our Lord Jesus Christ, the very wisdom and power of God, sitting in their presence. And yet they condemned him. Oh my. My, my. You know, we went to Florida several times, and in the winter time, you go down there, talking about religion, you can't reach them. You go down there, and I'm telling you, this is unbelievable how many Mennonites are down there. I mean, they got their things on their head, they got their long dresses on, the men got their beards and their hats, and they go out on the beach and they leave their dresses on, leave their buns on their heads, you know, that stuff on their heads. They're so religious, they want everybody to see that they're religious. Why in the world go to the beach if you're not going to take your clothes off and get some sun? You know, they don't even wear sunglasses. You know, I'm telling you how absurd religion is. How absurd it is. And Shirley and I were sitting there one time, and I'm going to tell you how absurd it is. And that when people think nobody's around where they watch, we went in a restaurant to eat, and there was a whole table full of them. Women on one side, men on the other. They come out there, and every single one of them ordered a drink. And I sat there and said, Shirley, did you see them Mennonites drinking? I said, I never would have dreamed that in my life. You know, and here they was drinking. But I tell you what, I bet they don't do that when they're at the house. But that's what I'm telling you. See how absurd religion is? It's as phony as it can possibly be. It's, you know, if all your religion is outward, and all it is in how you dress, and how you act in public, and the clothes you put on, then you've missed Christ. Because as far as God's concerned, we're all open and naked before Him. And you people think that they can put on some clothes, some special clothes, and special dress, and all that, and they think that that's going to make them holy and acceptable to God. The only way you're made holy and acceptable to God is in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Huh? Every one of us sitting here with clothes on today. But God sees past our clothes. He sees past what we look like and how we act. He sees into our very hearts. And I'm so thankful He does. Huh? Oh my. And then look what it says here now. Okay. Verse 18 and 19. Let's go back to our text. I run a rabbit there. See if I can get back. I caught him. Did I catch him? And behold a man. And behold men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. So here's a paralyzed man. This man's paralyzed. He can't move. He had no ability to move. He couldn't move. He had no ability, had no power to bring himself to Christ. Had to be carried. Carried by four men. And this little old couch is just a small bed that they carry people around in and that people laid on. Little old small bed, and you could roll it up. And Mark says there were four men who carried him. Now, I don't know why they brought him to Christ. I don't know if he said, listen, I know I hear that Christ is here in Capernaum where I live. Maybe it's that way. I hear that Christ is here. And you all are my friends. Would you all pick me up and take me to Him? Or maybe those men said, listen, we know that Christ is here, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth here in Capernaum. Would you want us to take you and take you to Christ and see if He'd heal you? I don't know what all bring about. But anyway, somebody told him about Christ and somebody wanted to bring him to Christ. Some men, they desired to bring him to Christ. And it says here that they sought means, in verse 18, they sought means to bring him in. They sought means. They went to looking. How are we going to get him in before Christ? How are we going to get him in there? And listen to what this says right here. They sought means to bring him in, and here is what is more precious than anything here. To bring him and to lay him before him. Well, bring him in, what for? We want to lay him, lay this paralyzed man before him. We ain't nobody, but he is. Yeah. We can't do anything for this man, but he can. And that's what he said. Oh, what a wonderful place to lay before him. What a wonderful place to lay down. What a wonderful place to relax. What a wonderful place to be brought before the Lord Jesus Christ. And to lay before him. And then the scripture says they could not because of the crowd. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. They had a great, great big crowd there. They couldn't get in the house. They couldn't get in this place. People was packed in there. And they couldn't get in there. They sought means. They were trying to figure out. They couldn't get in because of the multitude. Huh? So they carried him. They went up on the, carried this man up on the roof. They made their way to the roof. There ain't no way in the world to get into the presence of Christ. Well, they said, we're going to find a way. And I tell you, they made their way to the roof. They desired a way to get him into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm telling you something. I don't care what kind of crowd there is, there's always a way to get to Christ. Huh? You got too many illustrations in it. That woman with the issue of blood. There was a great multitude around Christ, pressing Him. And she started crawling through that crowd. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garments, I'll be made whole. And the Lord Jesus turned around and said, all these people around, said, somebody touch me. Simon Peter said, somebody touched you, Lord. Everybody's touching you. Everybody's pressed around you. But somebody touched me. How do you know? Because virtue went out of me into them. Healing power went to them. Saving power come out of me to them. The only place there's any place where you get anything from God Almighty is through Christ. Huh? And then there was Zacchaeus. He couldn't see Christ because of the great big crowd that was around him. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll figure out a way to see him. How are you going to do it, Zacchaeus? I'm going to climb this tree. I'm too short. I can't see over the heads of people. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll climb a tree. Crowds ain't going to keep me from seeing Christ. And crowds ain't going to keep me from Christ. And that's the way these men felt. They felt like that man said, oh, I've got to get to Christ. So they climbed. You know, they had steps. And they climbed up these steps to get on top of this roof with this man. Because there's such a crowd. And then look what it says. And they went up on the housetop. And they took, there's tiles on the roof. And they start taking the tiles off. They start taking the roof off. Start taking off the roof. And they took enough off. They took enough tiles off of that roof that a man could lay down and be let down in there. I mean, they took off enough tiles off of that house, off of that roof, that you know, where you could lay a man down and then let him down through that roof. I mean, it's a pretty good sized hole in that house. When they take off that much roof to let a man go laying down, and four men standing, then they have to have something to stand on to let him down. But then look what our Lord Jesus said in verse 20. And when he saw their faith. Now let me show you something here. Here's the situation. They've took off this roof. This man's laying down. I don't know how, you know, he might have been 5'10", 5'6", 5'8", who knows? But he's paralyzed. He was unable to do anything. Somebody else had to do something for him. So here they're standing. One, you know, these men are standing here. And they've got this fellow on ropes. Some way they've got him hooked onto his bed. And they start letting him down a little bit at a time. And when he got down there, and there he was hanging in the air, four men up on the roof, and everybody could look up and see. Four men on the roof, and here's this man hanging on his couch, hanging in the presence of Christ. Maybe he hit Christ right about here. Maybe they just had him out 3 or 4 foot from Christ, a foot from Christ. I don't know how, but I know there he's hanging in midair. Men are holding him up. And when he saw their faith, these people believe me. They believe what I'm able to do. They believe I'm the only one who can do anything for this man. So they brought him here. And what did Christ say to him? What was our Lord's response? He looked at him and says, man. Didn't call him by his name. Just said, man. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Well, wait a minute. Is this man paralyzed because of his sins? No. You know, that's what they asked that when the Lord Jesus went to that blind man's house, born blind, they said, "Is this man sin? Is that why he's blind, or is it because his parents sinned? That's why he's blind." He says, "Neither, that God might be glorified." And so this man here, the first thing Christ says to him is, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." He wasn't paralyzed because of his sins. But our Lord shows us here the greatest need of any man on this earth. First and foremost, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Huh? Oh my. A man can be healed in his body. Can be healed in his body. But without his sins being forgiven, it won't do him any good. Is that not right? I mean, if you get a verdict from your doctor and he tells you got something wrong with you, you're going to go to the doctor and you're going to try to get the treatment, the best treatment you can get, and try to do as best you can to stay on this earth as long as you can, in a comfortable life as long as you can. But this man was paralyzed. They brought him to Christ. Christ never paid a bit of attention to his being paralyzed. All he was interested in, "Man, saw their faith, you brought him to me, and I'm going to forgive him. Man, your sins are forgiven." Now, what he could do? He couldn't walk, so he can't sin with his feet. He can't sin with his hands, he can't move his arms. So where's his sin at? What does he need forgiven of? It's in his nature. It's in his very nature. It's in his heart. He's born with it. He'll live with and die with it. And that's the thing here, and our Lord's teaching here, that cleansing of the soul is more important than healing of the body. Sin is the worst disease that's ever, ever been on this earth. It's the worst disease that's ever been on this earth. And you know, we know it's a disease. Our Lord said, from within, from out of the heart. That's where the issue's at, in the heart. And I tell you, get your body healed. And I'm telling you, all kinds of things can happen to you. But sin is the worst disease. And that's why He said, by His stripes you're healed. Oh my, sin, what a black, horrible, despicable thing it is. It's awful. It's a horrible thing. And it'll destroy a man. How many homes have been destroyed over sin? And I'm going to tell you this, and you know as well as I do, the only people that know anything about sin is God's people who's been made to be sinners. And I've said this time and time again, the very moment you become a sinner, I mean, really become a sinner, you're saved already. You may not know it till you hear the gospel. But if you ever become a sinner, you're saved. You know why? Christ came to save sinners. When I lay on my deathbed and sang that song, "In Jesus I found a sweet rest," I want that sung at my funeral. I won't hear it, I won't know anything about it, but I want it sung. But here I'm telling you, when I get ready to leave this world and I'm still in my right mind, the only thing I'm going to find comforted to me is that Christ came to die and save a sinner like me. Save a sinner like me. That's the most amazing thing that I've ever confronted in my life, is that God would save a sinner. Somebody like me. You know, y'all see me at my worst, you see me at my best, but you ain't see me like God sees me. How in the world can God, holy, infinite, eternal, immutable, righteous, how can he have anything to do with me? How can it happen? the only answer you can find. It's like this man did. Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. How are they forgiven? Christ put them away by Himself on that cross. God forgives sins justly because Christ paid for sins in Himself, in His body on that tree. So the only way in the world God can have anything to do with us is through His blessed Son. And when He lets you know that your sins are forgiven you, that's the most blessed day of your life. And I tell you what, it's a day that you'll never get over as long as you live on this earth. Will you? You don't get over that. We sang Amazing Grace. You know why we sang Amazing Grace? Because Amazing Grace is amazing. Ain't that right? It's amazing. It's as amazing now as it was then. You get tired of saying that? I don't. Oh, no. And I tell you, our Lord's telling us that the greatest need of any man is the forgiveness of sins. But look what happens here in verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Speaking blasphemies? Christ speaking blasphemies when He said, a man, your sins are forgiven you? And they said, who can forgive sins but God alone? Instead of rejoicing and saying, oh my, this man's sins forgiven, maybe he'll forgive me mine. But instead, they said, who can forgive sins but God alone? And their reasoning is correct. Only God can forgive sins. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord, Jehovah, imputeth not iniquity. O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities. So you see, beloved, only God can forgive sins. And that they're saying is, this man speaks blasphemy. Who does he think he is? He's just a man here. We know him. We know his mother. We know his father. We know who he is, know where he's from, know everything about him. He must be an imposter. To say your sins be forgiven you, that's a blasphemous thing. Who is this speaks this blasphemy? I'll tell you some men that blaspheme. Pope blasphemes. Priests that say they can absolve of sins blaspheme. But he said, oh my, this man speaketh blasphemy. Now listen to what happens here. In verse 22, but Jesus perceived their thoughts. You know what that word perceive means? He heard it. He understood it. He grasped it. He knew exactly what. He perceived their thoughts. They were just thinking. They never said nothing. Never said a word. They were just thinking. They were just thinking. No, am I. And he says, he answered, he said to them, what are you reasoning in your hearts? Could you imagine how they felt when the Lord Jesus said, listen, why are you reasoning this in your heart? What's going on here that you reason this in your heart? Huh? And then our Lord says to them, so you see, He reads a man's heart. He knows a man's heart. And I want you to see some things. Look in Psalm 139. You know, our Lord said it, and well, you look here in Psalm 139, I'll quote another verse to you. You know, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder, soul and spirit, to the joints and marrows, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. All creatures are open and naked before Him. But oh my, Christ perceived their thoughts. He read their mind. He knew their hearts. Look what David said here. O Lord, Thou hast searched me. Searched me. Searched me. And known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, and mine uprising. You know when I'm down, you know when I'm up. You understand my thought afar off. What he's saying is, before I think of something, you know it. And you, when I lay down, you got around me, and you're acquainted with all my ways. And there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The Lord is taking the prerogative of God Almighty here that belongs to God, forgiving sin. And look what he says now back over in our text. What reason ye in your hearts? In verse 23, our Lord asked them a question. Which is easier to say? Which is easier to say? What's the easiest thing to do in this situation? Thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, rise up and walk? Which is easier? Huh? They both are just words. They both are just phrases. But I'll tell you where they get their power from. It's who says it. It's who says it. The Pharisees, they couldn't do this. But I tell you what, you know, they're just words, but who says them? That's what gives them power. And look what our Lord said here in verse 24. And he says this, but that you may know. I want you to know some things. I want you to know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I want you to know this right now. You Pharisees and doctors of the law need to know this. You need to know that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a woman, has power upon earth to forgive sins. Huh? Oh, listen, I want you to know that I've got the power. I've got the power and the power alone. Oh my, I've got the authority. I've got the right. I've got the ability. And nobody else in this world's got that but me. Don't go anyplace else to get your sins forgiven. Don't go anyplace else to need to get healing for your sins. Don't go anyplace else but to Christ. You need proof that I'm God? You need proof that I can forgive sins? I want you to know this, that I've got all power. I've got all the authority. I've got all the rights. You don't have anything. This man didn't have nothing when they brought him in here. But I want you to know that I've got this power. And they carried him in there. They carried him before Christ. But I want you to know that the Son of Man, that I've got the power and authority upon earth, I want you to know that I've got the power to forgive sins. And then he speaks the second time to this man. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, the paralyzed, I say unto thee, never even called his name, get up, take up your couch, and go home. They carried you in here, but you're going to walk out. Oh my. Oh, I say unto you, oh, you want to know that I can forgive sins? I'm going to show you how I've got all power. It's as easy for me to tell him to get up and walk and not say anything about his sins, but I tell you what, the most important thing for him is to have his sins forgiven. And I tell you, and our Lord said, I say unto you, arise, take up your couch, and go home. And look what it says, immediately. Well, I need to wait on the Lord, see if the Lord's going to save me. Oh, immediately! He rose up, listen to this, before them. Before who? Before the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors, before Christ, before all them people in that room. Immediately he rose up before them. And those men let go of those ropes or whatever they was holding him up with. And they let go of it and he reached down and got his bed and picked it up. And took up that where he lay and departed to his own house. Now I mean, you think of this. You know there's so many things that when you're confronted with them. Now what will you imagine his family thought when he walked through that door? They'll never never seen him walk. They didn't know anything about what was going on. And he goes, he don't knock on the door and say, "Listen, can I come in?" No, he went home, opened that door, and walked in. Can you imagine how his family felt? Oh! What happened? You're walking. I was over there in this house, and these four fellas let me down. And my sins are forgiven. And then he gave me the ability to walk. Every ability we have has to come from Christ. If you're going to walk for Christ, He's got to give you, He's got to make you work, make you worthy and make you willing. He's got to be the one to do it. He has to work in you the power and the will. And immediately he departed his house. And look what it says. Glorifying God. When he got home, he was praising God, glorifying God, thanking God, blessing God. He got in his house and said, God done this for me. God saved me. God made me to walk. God gave me the ability to come here, come home, and I'm whole now. It's like that maniac. He said, listen, Christ healed him and he sent him home. And he's sitting at the feet of Christ, clothed in his right mind. Oh my. And to glorify God in your own house, what a blessed thing it is. Ain't it a blessed thing to have a house and a home and a wife and a family that when you're together at home, you can glorify God? Glorify God by your prayers. Glorify God by how you treat your wife and how you treat your home. And ain't it a blessed thing to glorify God at home? If you can't glorify Him at home, you can't glorify Him anywhere. At home is where you're known the best. Huh? And look what it says now. In verse 26. I'll hurry up. And they were all amazed. Ain't you amazed? They were amazed. They were all amazed. They just amazed. And look what else happened. He says, told you Christ does everything for the glory of God. And they glorified God. All of them. And they were filled with fear. Oh my. I've been in the presence of this man who has all this power and this ability and this authority. And oh my, they were all amazed. Oh, they were amazed. They glorified God. They ascribed to God an honor and splendor and praise that's only due Him. And I tell you, let me close with saying two things. We see our Lord's omniscience. And we see our Lord's omnipotence in these three things that happened today. We see our Lord's omniscience. He read those men's thoughts. He read their minds. He sees all. Sees all. And then look at His omnipotence. You know how He shows you how He's got all power? First of all, He forgives sins. Nobody else can do that. Nobody has the power to do that but Him. And secondly, He healed that man's body. That's His omnipotence. He's the only one to do those things. Huh? Are you amazed? And then it says they saw strange things. Well, we've seen some strange things today. I've never seen anybody brought in that was carried in a bed and walked out. I've never seen anybody have their sins forgiven like that. I've never seen a man read up somebody's thoughts. But He did. He did. You see these people. That people, you go by a house, it's a fortune teller, palm reader, and all these things that they can tell you. They say they can tell you your past and your present, and they can tell you your future. You know what God calls them people? Necromancers. Witches. I got to read my stars today, my astrology today, see what's going to happen in my life today. You reckon that happened this day? No. I tell you, beloved, I say this and I say it, oh, with such joy in my heart, that Christ has all power in heaven and in earth to forgive sins, and it don't make no difference what happens to this body afterwards, because it's going to go some way anyway. Huh? Whatever way God chooses to take us out of here, a heart attack, brain tumor, whatever way He chooses to take us out of here, that's His business. You know what I want to do? Glorify God and still stand amazed in the presence of the Nazarene. Amen. Our Father, oh blessed, blessed Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, oh our God, our Savior, oh Lord, thank You for Your gospel. Thank You for Your precious word. Oh, it gives such life. Oh, it produces life in our very soul. Quickens our minds. Lifts up our soul from being so down. Lifts up our heart and soul and brings them up out of this world for just a little while. And we thank You for it. We bless You for it. And God bless these dear saints as they go. You preserve them and You keep them. And Lord, don't let people here be like those ones that they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. Give them seeing eyes and give them hearing ears, that they may see Christ, hear Christ, and come to Christ, and do it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. What's that, 67 in the hymn book?